2 Corinthians is where we'll start this evening. And just a simple, really and truly, just a simple lesson tonight. The title of it, if you're going to put a title to it, is just the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's something that's that needs to be discussed, needs to be talked about, preached on. This may even be a more of a lesson for a discipleship course or soul winning class, or even a an encouraging Sunday morning sermon if you want to know the absolute truth about it. But I wanted to bring something simple this evening. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is what we're going to look at. The Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time you've given us to be back tonight. I thank you for the discussion, open discussions prior to Bible study tonight. Pray you open up our hearts and our minds to the teaching this evening. Lord, we lift up Preston and Wendy and the family. Lord, as they're in Scotland, pray that you give them a good service tonight. Safe travel and mercies back tomorrow. Pray that you be with our family members, Lord. I ask you to watch over David tonight and watch over my children here, my mom, my dad. Father, we pray for every member's family. We think of Jonathan. Thank you for getting him a job. And Lord, we lift up the boys in prayer. We pray for them. Pray for James tonight and Pete and Allison and the girls, Lord. I lift up my in-laws in prayer and ask you to bless them richly and wonderfully. So, Father, go with us this evening during this Bible study, Lord. We give you honor, praise, and glory in Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen. And, man, the Bible says here, it says in verse 4, it says, "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So my question, I guess, that I would open up here this evening, do you believe in the lordship of Jesus Christ? There's a biblical truth today that simply lies silent in the lives of many who believe or claim to believe. So my question to you and everyone present this evening is, Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Not the Lord of your eternal life. Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the Lord of all you have in this life tonight? Guys, this teaching, and even worse, the application that we find in our society of Jesus Christ being the Lord to all believers, is missing in the modern day churches. You know, today you're going to find a 9.5-minute sermon. People want to get home to make their lunch, or they have cooked dinner in the oven, and they have more important and pressing things in their life to make Jesus Christ the Lord of life. They want the salvation from Him. We taught this morning, and our final point was on gratitude. What are you grateful for tonight? You know, I touched on the fact that it's easy for when a young person, when they get saved at an early age, like all of my children, they made their profession of faith at an early age, and I was thankful for that. I wasn't quick on the draw. I never pressured them. I told them to pray and let the Lord lead them, and they took months and months and months of praying until their heart was convicted and open contrition was seen. That's not a buy-all, not a fix-all, obviously, at all. But it's easy for a young person who was saved many years ago, not saved out of something, but saved unto eternal life, it's easy for them to not see or cherish lordship salvation. I mean, is Christ the Lord of your life? It's only by the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved. He must be your Lord tonight in order for you to be saved and born again. So we find, guys, as Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians, he said that that if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have a society of people that are lost. You know, people that are blinded. How are they blinded? They're blinded by the god of this world. So what are the things this evening? What number one thing, or I'd say the first thing, are they blinded to, or are they hiding themselves from this evening, in order for them to be saved? You say, well, believe in Jesus Christ, died on the cross, is buried in the grave, and risen again. Okay, that's fine. That's the gospel. The gospel is hid to them. But my friend, that gospel is hid, and it's hid by the god of this world, mind you, who is Satan himself. And he has attacked the young people, he's attacked the older people, he's attacked everybody in this world to cover their eyes and believe in something else more than the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a condition, number one, that must be met. And it's not just believing in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just saying, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. It's not just that. There's a condition that first must be met in order for a soul to be saved. Now, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans chapter 10 tonight. Romans chapter 10. And again, I believe this is simple teaching this evening. And I want it to be, because in my heart what I want tonight is I want for you to be provoked into thinking for yourself, provoked into thinking where you are and how you are serving the Lord, and where you are in your life, not only here in this day here, but where you're going to go when these days come to an end. There's a condition, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, we probably know it, you've heard me quote it, but the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's a condition within that verse. You say, well, preacher, I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he was resurrected unto life. I believe it. I believe in Jesus. Well, here's the deal. The condition is the Lord. It's not just Jesus. It's not just the resurrection. The condition is you must believe that Jesus Christ and him alone is the Lord. All right? That doesn't disqualify the Holy Trinity. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But for salvation purposes, you must put Jesus Christ as the Lord in your heart. When a Jew was converted, he had to meet the condition that Jesus Christ is Lord, thus acknowledging that Jesus is God. When a Gentile was converted, he had to meet the very same condition that Jesus Christ is the Lord, not Caesar, not Zeus, not Diana, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Allah, but Jesus Christ and him alone. Beloved, early Christianity demanded a clean break from this world, from the flesh, from the devil, and it was not until Constantine made Christianity stylish did the pagans begin to flock into the sanctuaries, bringing with them their festivals, their idols, and their pagan ways. That was pseudo-Christianity, and it gave birth to Catholicism, which is ran amok in this world today. Guys, the church has never recovered from what Constantine did in cloaking paganism with a so-called Christianity. Beloved, the truth of the matter is this, is you cannot bow to man and the master of the universe at the same time. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. It is either all Jesus Christ, or it's only partially Jesus Christ. You can't serve both. So the condition has to be that there is a clean break. The condition is Jesus must be God. You must confess him as Lord. So we find that the condition is made possible through what? It's made possible through the confession. The Bible says there in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess. That if thou shalt confess, confess means to agree with. There must be an agreement between you and the Savior, an agreement between you and Jesus Christ, an agreement that is laid by his terms, that you confess Jesus Christ as Lord. The Lord said unto Amos, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Beloved, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to go ahead and turn there quickly. You don't need to go there just for time's sake tonight. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3, the Bible says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus the curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's not an intellectual decision. It's not something that you can just choose to do. It's something that the Holy Spirit of God must move you into making a confession to agree that Jesus Christ is God. Friend, the flesh will never surrender to the Lordship of Christ. You need to understand that tonight. The confession that comes through the Holy Spirit, that's where it must be made. The true and simple fact is that you cannot willfully take Christ as Savior and reject Him as Lord. You can't accept the death, burial, and resurrection and reject Him as being God. Paul said in Acts 16:31, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on. Not just believe in. Beloved, Jesus Christ demands absolute, singular loyalty. And today, that's not very popular. Vance Havner, who's believed to be the most quoted preacher of all time, says, here's the key to the sad state of many Christians and churches. He says, there is a cheap, easy believism that does not believe and does not, and a receivism that does not receive. He says, there is no real confession of Christ Jesus as Lord. So do you know what is remarkable about all that? The word Savior only occurs 25 times in the New Testament. The word Lord, in its proper context, 711 times. But there's more to a believer's life after meeting the condition. There's more to a believer's life after meeting the confession. And that's when we're given a commission. We're given a commission. Look over in Acts chapter 11 with me. You will not and you cannot partake in the commission if you're not willing to meet the condition to make the confession. You will not and you cannot take on the role and the sacrifice and the labor that is required for this commission if you don't first meet the condition and make the confession. Acts chapter 11 verse 19, the Bible says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far." I'm sorry, that's verse, yeah, I'm right. "Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that they should go as far as Antioch. And when he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord." There it is again. "For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Did you notice that the Lord Jesus Christ was what was preached? And the believers were called, the believers that were disciples were called Christians first right here. A disciple is a pupil, is a follower of a certain teachings. As Christians, Christian believer, we are to be a disciple, we are to be a witness, we are to be part of this commission. But you find, guys, that these believers, what was taught unto them was the Lord Jesus Christ. Their life was sold out because the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't just a Savior. He wasn't just someone that paid the price for him for a life that's yet to come, but he was the Lord of their life at the present moment. The Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ bids us to go forward and make disciples, but you will never be part of the commission if you're not first part of the condition and the confession. God is not just interested in saving sinners from hell. He would have sinners made into saints. The challenging and the typical place of failure and is the continuance thereof. John 8:31 says, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." Beloved, it was Peter. Peter was still a believer after he denied Christ three times, although he was not a disciple. He lost his discipleship for 3 days. Remember the angel's word at the tomb in Mark 16:7. We've talked about this in times past. But he says, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." The believer comes to Christ. The disciple comes after him. The birth of a child is an important event in the life, and it takes 20 years afterwards to make a man or a woman. The believer must be willing to develop into a disciple and witness for the one that they truly believe in and believe on. Paul said unto the Lord at his conversion, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." So, beloved, what we need to ask ourselves, do we understand that salvation is free to us? Yes, it is, but it's not cheap. What we need to ask ourselves is, are we truly meeting that condition in our life today? Maybe at one time you did and you made your confession true, but we've slacked off in the commission because we've forgotten about the condition of Jesus being our Lord, our God. It cost the Father everything he had. It cost the Son everything he had. So when we, as believers, we come to the Lord, and we come not only to be Christians or be saved, but we're coming to be disciples, it should cost us something. We have to meet the condition that Jesus must be our Lord in our life. People today will join just about anything. I mean, you give them an emblem on a car, you give them a secret handshake. We talked about that in Bible study last week as well. You give them a password and they'll join. You give them an app and they'll get hooked onto it and spend hours on it. But the Lord was not like that. The Lord said, what I've told you, shout on the rooftops. What I've shared with you, I mean business, get out there and do it. The New Testament teaches us more than faith in Christ, but to follow Jesus Christ in our life. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, learn of me. Word of God never teaches people to accept Jesus as Savior, but to acknowledge Him as Lord. So, beloved, if you are willing to make and meet the condition, then there's the confession. But don't forget the first part, because without the condition, you'll never be part of the commission. You'll never be part of winning people to Jesus Christ. And this is what I want you to think about, and then I'm done and we'll go to prayer meeting. As each one of you have friends and family members who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So my question to you tonight, what are you doing to meet the condition to show forth a confession and be part of the commission in their life? Some of you have but a few weeks left here around the people that you're running with. Some of you will only have a day or an hour a week with someone. What light of the glorious gospel are you bringing into their life? What example are you setting for them so that they may be willing to make the condition? Guys, if you're not making Jesus Christ the Lord in your life, they're never going to believe a word you say about Jesus Christ. It's just as bad as standing on a road knowing that a bridge is washed out up top, and as cars come up the road, you just do this right here and you wave at them. Hello, come on, have at it. Just yep, keep on going. Every time we spend time with family members, loved ones, and so-called friends, and we don't set a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, every time we lean over to their side, if you will, we don't set an example of separation, set an example of salvation, set an example of our Savior. You know what you're doing? Come on. It's that way. The Bible says, unless you believe, you will all likewise perish. So I'm challenging you tonight. Search your hearts. Go back to the moment, the hour, the time. Daniel and I talked about the night that he got saved. We was talking about that today because we were just talking about our old house and whatnot. He remembers the place. He remembers that, man, he remembers what I was bringing in and all that. I'm saying all that to you tonight for this particular purpose. Did you meet the condition then? Was Jesus Christ your God? Are you meeting that condition now? Is Jesus Christ your God? Is He your Lord? Is He the one you're trying to impress? Was that confession sure? And if it was, are you willing to make that confession as part of the commission in this world? Moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, whoever it may be, you are going to be the only Bible they ever read in their life. And you may be the only opportunity they ever have to meet the condition, to make the confession, and therefore get back involved in the commission. You bow your heads tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here this evening. Lord, I ask you to bless the message to our hearts. I pray that it would provoke us unto thoughts, provoke us to be proactive for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, stand sure-footed tonight. And Lord, you know many people that are on my heart at this present moment. I ask of you, please move upon them, Lord. Bring back to recollection the words that they have heard directly from me, from someone else, concerning the need of salvation. And please save their precious soul. In Jesus Christ's name I ask. Amen. Amen. All right.